You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. We thank you for being with us at a Target Demo Friday. It's going to be a good day. It always is here aboard the mothership. We laugh, we learn, we do it together. Coming up this hour here on the show, boy, we are just so jam-packed. On Football Fridays, we are stunned to a news coming up in 20 minutes. Plus, my tasty top five, my top five college football games of the weekend. You know what number one is, but what is two, three, four, and five? Also, Mraz will have his NFL picks later on in the show. Super Dave next hour with his college football picks. And Brian Jones, he of the Geo and Jones extravaganza here on Mornings Once Upon a Time on CBS Sports Radio. Is going to drop on by to talk a little college football and preview Bama versus Georgia with us as he'll be on the SEC on CBS coverage tomorrow night for the big one. But we begin in baseball. ALCS. The Rays had taken a commanding, historic 3-0 series lead. 38 times teams in LCSs had taken a 3-0 series lead. 37 of those times they had won. Only once had any team come back from down 3-0, that of course being the magical 2004 Boston Red Sox, who overcame 3-0 against the hated Yankees en route to their first world championship in 86 years. But that 37-1, well, that also reflected how many teams had come back to even force a game six. Down 3-0, only the Red Sox had even won twice. The Astros had won Game 4 to stave off elimination. Then last night, bottom nine, tie ball game, Carlos Correa.
Pitch on the way, and Correa hits it in the air. Pretty deep to center, sends back Kiermaier at the wall. See you later, and see you tomorrow. The Houston Astros win it in the bottom of the ninth on Correa's walk-off homer, 4-3. And there will be a game six.
Walking off the field, I said, I'm going to end it. You know, I could feel that my swing was in sync. I could feel that my rhythm was good. I could feel that I wanted to drive the ball, and I felt like I could do it. So, you know, when he threw me a fastball, I saw it good, and I was able to drive the center field like I wanted to.
Robert Ford, the voice of the Astros on Astros Radio, Carlos Correa. No. No. No, 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 no. No. The Astros are not going to come back and ruin my October. I love this Rays team. I'm all in on this Rays team. I love that this Rays team has a group of players that are cast-offs from other places. I love that this Rays analytics department out analytics the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Cubs and the Dodgers. I love the fact that this Rays team is better and smarter with less of a budget than anybody else. You know what? Maybe I love the Rays because I feel like the DA shows a little Rays-esque. We might not have the budget of some of the other bigger sports radio networks or other bigger sports talk radio shows, but we do more with less around here. Way less. And I'll tell you what, this Rays team up 3-0, is it going to blow it? Okay, they're not going to blow it. I'm just putting that out there.
Let's go, Rays!
Over Dick Vitale's dead body.
Let's
They're not going to blow this. Why? For a couple of reasons. Number one, we're not going to allow the Astros to be back in the World Series. Okay? I just think that's got to be very, very clear here. If this Astros team doesn't have to give back their hardware for 2017, had no players suspended, had no fans in attendance all season long, and still go to the World Series, it's going to be a problem. Okay, something has to stand in their way for more glory. Something, someone. So that's not going to happen because that wouldn't be fair, baseball gods. Number two, do you really want to see Mraz not with that beautiful Rays avatar with him in a Rays jersey and hat next to Dick Vitale in an empty Tropicana field? I would say no. You want to see that. You need to see that. You need me on that wall. We need that avatar. So the moment the Rays are eliminated, that all goes away once you ride up Troy's bucket. Number three, if the Rays win the World Series, we live in a wonderful Mraz purgatory where they wouldn't have been eliminated. So does Mraz have to use the avatar until next year's World Series?
Absolutely not.
It is a bylaw that is a little bit cryptic, kind of like whether Nick Saban can communicate with his press box tomorrow night.
Urizarina?
So all of these reasons are the reasons why the Rays need to and will win this series. You hear me, baseball gods? They will do it. But I have to admit, last night, watching Carlos Correa go yard and seeing the Astros hit a home run on the first pitch of the freaking game from George Springer, the first pitch of the game, he goes yard into the warehouse and left. Yikes. Has me feeling a little nauseous this morning. G-Man Choi, he's a He-Man, going yard the eighth. A lot of home runs last night. Urizarina also did it again. He did it again. And yet, the Rays, who almost always have those late-game heroics, didn't have them here against the Astros. So we go to a game six, and I do think the Astros have flipped the series. I do think the Astros have now, by winning these two games, put the pressure back on the Rays. The pressure's always on the team facing elimination in a series like this, if you're down 3-0 or down 3-1. But now, because it's 3-2, if you push the Rays to a game seven, now it's a winner-take-all. Now the pressure in game six is you can't lose or else it's a one-game series. So the pressure has shifted to the Rays. Now, I will say this. I kind of feel as though Tampa Bay is oblivious to pressure. I mean, they just feel like a team that doesn't, they don't navigate in those waters. They're just so bizarre as a roster construction, and they're so quirky as a organization that I do feel like, you know, it's not mental with this team. It's not like a team with huge expectations that is suddenly falling short of them. Like when the Yankees are up 3-0 and suddenly the Red Sox are coming back, that's an age-old story. And the Yankees are supposed to win. The Red Sox are the underdogs. And there's all this history that is baked into it. That's not happening with Astros Rays here. But you shift the pressure onto the Rays if you win these two games, which they did. And so now the pressure is on the Rays tonight, and the Astros have flipped the series. Now, I still think the Rays will win. I still think the Rays will win tonight. I said that yesterday, but I still think the Rays will win tonight. But you got to admit, Mraz, Houston, those doggone Astros have flipped the series.
They absolutely have. I do think the Rays win tonight. I have to tell you, D, I hate both of these teams, so I really don't care who wins one way or another. So obviously I'm going to lean Astros to get rid of Dick Vitale. Another thing that dawned on me after that home run last night, I think I might be more all in on the Astros because I am so sick and tired of the Yankees having that one, oh, you don't want to blow a 3-0 lead. You don't want to be the Yankees and Red Sox. It would be so freaking refreshing for another team I hate, like the Rays, to have blown a 3-0 series lead so we have a little company in the ultimate misery card, because any time in any playoff series in any sport there's a 3-0 lead, that stupid 0-4 ALCS gets brought up, and I would just love for there to be more company there.
The problem with you wanting the Astros to do this is that the Astros get to the World Series, and if they win the World Series, it completely validates their 2017 World Series.
I know. It's almost like when you pay something with a credit card. You got to worry about paying it later. Then I got to flip it and hope the Braves or Dodgers take care of it. I got to take off one end here, pay that portion. We'll get to the other portion later, because this is a horrible ALCS for me. It's highly entertaining. I've never seen a series where I legitimately hate two teams and I love watching the games more than this. But, yeah, let them blow the lead now. Screw it. Let's have the Yankees not be the only team that's done it.
Game Look, 7 of the 2004 ALCS.
This is a problem for everybody in America right now, because if the Astros come back from down 3-0 to make the World Series again, they have all of this to crow about. This is an organization that didn't face any penalty. None whatsoever. None. They fired the manager, AJ Hinch. They fired the GM. But the owner, I mean, early in the season saying that, you know, I don't know how much of an advantage it really was, and I didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, there's no culpability here. How was I supposed to know? Even the owner was shifting blame. So a team can win the World Series, have no player suspended, have no penalty from their World Series, not have their rings taken back, not have to take down the banner, not be suspended for the postseason, and the entire year falls completely into their lap, that it happens to be the year that there's no fans in attendance, and then they come back from down 3-0 to make the World Series? Believe me, we don't want this.
I agree with you. No doubt about it, except you're I think, not understanding the baseball fandom part of this. The Astros are the one team, because of this season with no fans, that if they got to and won a World Series, they are the only team that, again, gets an asterisk for this being a screwed-up, wacky season, because anybody who sees the Astros win a World Series, the comment is going to be, well, you didn't have to deal with heckling fans all season long or all playoffs long to get to and win this World Series. You guys were already scared about it, so much so that the league was pointing out that you couldn't even retaliate against them. Spring training, remember, there were so many players complaining. They didn't know how they would get through it when fans were heckling them then. So if the Astros specifically win the World Series, no fans through 60 games, only see a smattering of fans in a World Series, that is the one organization and the one fan base you will laugh at for winning this World Series and go, we don't care that you won, because this one doesn't count. And it would count for any other team.
That's flimsy. That's grasping at straws. That is grasping.
That's going to be the take. It's going to be the take, DA, and it'll be the take from me, and it'll be the take from America.
All right, but the Astros dancing around home plate or dancing around the pitcher's mound winning a World Series, it's still going to be that. You know, you can say asterisk, ha-ha, but they're still going to be the ones celebrating and get another championship, get another set of rings, and another banner to hang.
Long way to go. They got six more wins to get. That's a lot of wins. A lot of baseball, FDA. A lot of baseball.
We need the Rays tonight. And by the way, the Dodgers are toast. Last night, they had to win that baseball. They had to win that baseball game. They actually got five good innings out of Kershaw. Really good innings out of Kershaw. Now, okay, in the sixth, he kind of implodes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's 3-1 by the time that he leaves, and the game had flipped. But, I mean, the Dodgers offense, having scored 11 runs the first inning yesterday, needs to give Kershaw more than just one run yesterday.
See, how low is the bar for Clayton Kershaw, though?
Well, he got run of support. I mean, can he get three?
I agree. I mean, this is the same that happened with the Yankees with Gerrit Cole. You want to score more runs, but you're still Clayton Kershaw, and you still knew the stakes last night. And although that offense didn't score, you gave up the one run, and then things get away from you in the sixth. You still got to finish the deal there and not put your team in a position where the bullpen's going to completely implode on you. The Dodgers bullpen's very flimsy. That's another spotlight. Clayton Kershaw knew the stakes, and the Dodgers offense should have known him for him too, because they're facing a team, frankly, that thought they were going to go opener into a bullpen game, and then the guy who starts for Atlanta ends up pitching great through six innings. that is a game when Clayton Kershaw is starting versus that with Atlanta, that the Dodgers, coming off what they came off from the night before, there should be no lowering the bar, no excuse. That's on Clayton Kershaw. That's on the offense. That's a freaking disgrace what the Dodgers did last night.
It's on everybody, no doubt. I mean, can Kershaw pitch better? Can he get through 6 2/3 of shutout baseball or one-run baseball? Of course. You can ask a Hall of Famer to do something like that, and that's where the greats do come through. That's where Madison Bumgarner does dominate. That's where Bob Gibson does make his bones. Jack Morris and other October stars, we've seen it. But the Dodgers lineup is so good. And the day before, they had exploded. And in game two, we saw by the end of it, they had finally come around. So it also would have relieved some of the pressure on Kershaw to not have to be perfect if you can just put up 2 or 3 runs there. That's all you need, 2 or 3 runs. But they couldn't do it, and the Dodgers are the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they're going to lose this series. And yes, they lost a World Series to a cheating bunch of ragtag asses in the Astros. No doubt about it. But you win the division 8 straight years, and that would have been their only World Series appearance, right? They only went to one World, if I'm not mistaken, or did they lose 2 in a row? Gosh, I'm mixing this up now.
I'm mixing that up too. Who did the Red Sox beat?
Oh, they beat the Dodgers. So they lost right. 2 World Series in a row. You know, 8 straight years winning the division, you go to 2 World Series and you're 0-2. You know, at least the Braves won 1 World Series. This is becoming really problematic because it doesn't matter what the Dodgers do. It doesn't matter who's on their roster. It doesn't matter how much they build up, whether it's their starting pitching or their bullpen or their lineup. I mean, now they have Mookie Betts, and they're going to lose to the Braves. I know the Braves are a good team, but the Dodgers have been the machine for at least 5 years. They've been the machine in baseball, and they're going to flame out again, and it's going to be 32 years since that 88 World Series. 32 years since they won a title, because they're not coming back from down 3-1. This series is over.
And how about Fox thinking they're getting Yankees Dodgers at the beginning of the year and could be getting Braves Rays in the World Series instead?
I mean, right now, let's face it, Fox is hoping for the Astros.
Yeah, you're right, because at least they get that storyline. Rays
get that story
and Braves
line and a
it's
big
Joe
market.
Buck next. Suddenly those Jaguar-Dolphin games don't seem so bad to Buck, huh?
What would you prefer to watch? Rays-Braves or Falcons-Bucks with Joe Buck on the call?
I mean, it's still a World Series, so I guess the World Series, but you're asking somebody who loves baseball. I mean, America, I'll tell you, America is preferring the Falcons, and if it was Dan Quinn still exploding all over himself,
well, they prefer Tom that. Brady.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Watch Tom Brady versus anybody.
Oof.
But how about, I mean, last year's Bucks Falcons game versus this year's World Series Braves and Rays?
Well, just let's not remember, they just had Joe Flacco versus Britt Rippon on Fox and with Buck calling the game.
That's true.
Disgrace.
So there's total drama tonight at the ALCS. I can't wait to watch this game. Rays and Astros from Petco Park. In game 6 of the ALCS, Astros need to win again to push to a deciding game number 7. It would be very Rays, by the way, to allow this to go to a game 7 and then have to win in dramatic fashion in like extra innings at a game number 7. When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I was born in the dark, raised in it. Gravitated in it.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio. Jazz hands.
I was born in it.
Tomorrow, the SEC on CBS is in prime time for one of the biggest games of the season. Third-ranked Georgia heads to Tuscaloosa to take on number 2 Alabama. Coverage begins at 7 Eastern with a drive to Atlanta presented by Mercedes-Benz, followed by State Farm College Football Today, leading up until kickoff at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Tomorrow night, the SEC is on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
Our friend Brian Jones is going to join us in an hour from now to talk about this big one, as he's going to be as part of the coverage for the SEC on CBS. Tomorrow night, Brian Jones will drop on by. Also, you can Send us your Target Demo Friday information because we want to know today, as we do every Friday, where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing. And this week's meme, doctored up by the great Wizard of Watch DA Cap, put together a common meme that you're seeing on social media these days, a very popular meme, how it started, how it's going. And how it started is a picture of Mraz scarfing pizza like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Michelangelo. And how it's going is Mraz keeled over on the couch, nearly passed out after 27 drinks at Bob's Bar. What a week it's been for Mraz. It's been a real emotional roller coaster. Monday morning, he began the week. We should probably just pull this audio. The first words out of Mraz's mouth on Monday morning was like, excuse me, DA. Russell Wilson's good. Because his voice was shot. He was screaming so loudly on Sunday at Bob's Bar and had imbibed 27 drinks by his calculations. We went over this in detail as part of the PGP on this week's Permission Granted podcast, which when you really go down and you break it down, you know, it's like looking at Hank Aaron's season-by-season home run totals. Like, you know the number 755, but then when you really start digging in, you're like, wow, they had 47 here, 42 there, 39 here, 42 there. You're like, this is just amazing consistency. E-I-E-I-O, a Hong Kong there. I mean, you just really start delving into, wow, so you had four whiskey shots during the Giants game? Wow, that seems like a lot. Okay, well, you had five pumpkin beers. Wow, that seems like a lot. You shotgunned a Trulia in there as well. Wow, that seems like a lot.
It's a white claw, not a Trulia. Can you get cultured, please?
But that's still only 10 drinks. So there's still 17 more to process.
Yeah. Hold on.
Hold on.
If you listen to the PGP Bogish, it wasn't actually 27 glasses of drink. It was the stupid pumpkin beers DA turned me on to are two beers for one. It's a two-for-one alcohol deal, so it was the equivalent of 27 drinks.
No!
Hold on!
Actually, the hold on is it was 1.5 because the percentage is 8.75%. So
right.
27 drinks weren't 27 separate drinks, but it was 27 drinks in totality of how much alcohol you process. But it's still... You know, yes, there was three or four beers at 1.5 times your normal percentage, and there was a glass at the end of the night of a nightcap of proper 12.
Yes.
But still, you raised 21 glasses to your mouth or something like that. It wasn't like it was less than 20 glasses or bottles that went to your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're just counting alcohol drinks, but I just think when you write the story, it makes it seem like I had somebody pour 27 drinks for me, which is just not the case. Like, the story was written. And by the way, guys, haven't touched the stuff all week. A lot of baseball.
So you're proud of, like, 20 drinks here? This is, again, like, when you say, like, you use the peanut butter spread because it's less than the chocolate syrup. Like, you're okay with 20? 20 is still an alarming number.
I'd love to see what you guys do while watching football, by the way. You know, I just got
not have 20
it.
Drinks
Bogus,
to be a human being.
You had to pedal home on a bicycle with a box full of seltzers, but suddenly I'm basically Barney Rubble from The Simpsons. I mean, what are we talking
Sean,
about?
Sean, I didn't drive them home on my bike and
Barney.
Then drink them all in one fell swoop that afternoon. That's the difference. I brought them home on my bicycle, not to drink them immediately from start to finish.
Okay, again, as I said in the PGP, which you can download on radio.com, I did not wake up Sunday and go, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to have about 30 drinks worth of football. It was a nice day outside. The football games were good. I was with family that, you know, we were just having a good time. And it was just one of those things where, okay, I'll have another. And all of a sudden, you don't realize what's happened. It's caught up with you. We've all been there. Stop.
I haven't.
Oh, get serious.
Not
yeah.
That gross.
I haven't.
Three kids, you never moseyed on down to the Jersey Shore, put your fists in the air, maybe kick the hacky sack at a Dave Matthews concert and have one too many Pacificos? What are you, nuts?
I have never stumbled my way into 20 drinks or the equivalent of 27 drinks.
Well,
no, I have
never done
that.
Well, it must be great to walk in Andrew Bogish's shoes. How perfect he is. Oh, he'll
I'm
fly
not
to
perfect,
Cancun
but...
and go listen to All the Saints Come Marching In by Dave and a bunch of flip-flop wearers. beers, but he'll stop at 19 drinks, folks. He's never crossed the line. I mean, come on, you prep boy.
So again, you're sitting here as if it's better that you did this and stole things from your parents' house. Like, that's the better behavior than the rest of
us. You can't steal from your parents. They're your parents. I live there. I grew up there. I've given alcohol to them. They've given alcohol to me. I brought the stupid pie. It's not thievery if it's your own family. You're just, it's like taking home a goodie bag. That's all I did.
80% of our respondents to the poll yesterday said you stole.
Of course, because they think I'm a jackass. Of course they're going to side. Stupid poll. Take the poll.
I'm sure your dad thought you stole from
Bogus.
Him.
I'm telling you right now, the next time we're at a wedding, maybe Pete will get married a third time. I don't know. I'm counting your drinks, man. I'm counting your drinks. I don't want to hear
ahead.
It.
You're not getting anywhere near 20.
Mr. It just seems weird that Mraz could drink 27, the equivalent of 27 drinks on Sunday. We have video evidence of how blotto he was, and he would be the one that would lash out at us. Oh, so you're so perfect. Like, just take it. You just had a disastrous day. It's okay.
I have taken it, but a nice, hey, we've all been there would be good.
We haven't. That's the difference. We haven't.
Well, 27.
We've been with you in other places, but not this.
27 would be.
You've never had 27. I've seen you at some block parties.
Look, I can put them down, no doubt. I really like having a good time, and there's occasion where it can spin away from me. But, you know, I'm 160 pounds. If I had 27 drinks,
which was the
nightcap after, you know, of whiskey, forget it. I mean, I wouldn't even be able to do the EIEIO at 27.
But okay, so that just shows how strong I am for a big man, okay? So my equivalency on what I can handle is a little differently. I'm not out there painting the town red. I got a 9-month-old daughter at home. When was the last time I acted like that? Maybe the 4th of July? Please. I had a day. And I've came here all week, and I've showed up. We've had some good guys. We've had some good shows. You guys are like trying to throw me in prison.
It is funny. One day we had no guests because Jonathan Stewart didn't pick
up
his phone.
Well, that's not my fault. No, that still counts. The box is checked.
We had good guests, didn't we? Well, except for the day we had no guests. But other than that,
no,
we had really...
box was checked. Not my fault.
All right, AB has our headline this morning, Mr. Bokes.
Guys, the Indianapolis Colts are working from home today as they figure out confirming multiple positive COVID-19 tests within the organization. As of now, Indy plays Cincinnati on Sunday. The Falcons are hoping to return to their facility today after spending yesterday virtually following their second positive of the week. And the Browns sent Odell Beckham Jr. home yesterday when he showed up sick. His head coach, Kevin Stefanski.
With this day and age, he's got to be so careful in this environment. So just want to make sure we're being proactive in that regard.
Beckham tested negative for coronavirus all week. He took one more test before going home yesterday morning. And while we wait on Nick Saban to figure out how to coach from his family room tomorrow night, the SEC has reportedly sanctioned multiple football programs for not following COVID protocols. The punishment is getting docked $100,000 of conference revenue. In non-COVID football news, Le'Veon Bell has picked the Chiefs over the Dolphins and the Bills. Those three somehow are the Jets' next three opponents. The Chiefs game...
That's on purpose. It's got to be, right?
It has to be, right? The Chiefs game is November 1st. Bell will not clear coronavirus protocols for the next 5 days, so he cannot debut Monday night against Buffalo. The Houston Astros are the first team ever to start and finish a playoff game with homers. George Springer hit the first pitch of Game 5 of the ALCS out to left. Then Carlos Correa extended their season with a solo shot bottom nine off Nick Anderson.
Well, obviously we wanted to win today, and we lost.
Because Carlos Correa homered off of you. The Rays are the best or the best team this season in one-run games, but now they've lost two of them in a row to keep the Astros alive. Game 6 at 3 Pacific today. Then we get Game 5 in the NLCS at 8 Central. The Braves are one win from their first World Series since 99 after last night's 10-2 knockdown of the Dodgers.
Huh.
Yeah. Atlanta's first four runs charged to Clayton Kershaw over 5+. Three of them came in a 6-run six for Atlanta. But don't talk to Dave Roberts about Kershaw's postseason shortcomings.
He gave us a chance to win the baseball game. You know, we couldn't put any runs up early and get a lead and or hold a lead, you know, after the Eddie home run. But that narrative couldn't be further from the truth.
The Dodgers did score first last night on Edwin Rios' solo homer in the third. Kershaw's LCS ERA is now 4.84. The Braves, meanwhile, got six stellar innings from 22-year-old righty Bryce Wilson.
So this run that the Dodgers are on, eight consecutive NL West division titles, began with Don Mattingly as the manager. He was at the helm for the first three. He went to an NLCS and then lost in the DS consecutive years. Then they moved to Dave Roberts. He's been as part of the last five. Roberts has made the NLCS twice. He'll lose this one. Lost to the DS last year to the Nats and lost two World Series. 1-5 to the Red Sox, 1-7, memorably against the Astros. They've been incredibly patient with Dave Roberts. He's a likable guy. He's a stand-up guy. They really like him. But if they don't get to a World Series this year, and I think this series is over, is it possible they finally make a change? And that they go on manager number three, trying to figure out what the secret sauce is? Because, I mean, eight consecutive division titles, and they've gone to two World Series and lost them both? That's not good enough for this roster. It's not good enough for this payroll at this point, right?
And they just committed to Mookie Betts long term. I have a tough time saying that, because I guess the answer to the question would be, who do you replace him with? You can't just fire him to fire him. Are they going to bring in an Alex Cora or an A.J. Hinch to try to get them over the hump? I guess. But you better have a pretty damn good plan, because at least Dave Roberts is getting there, and you're only just starting the Mookie Betts era. I know it looks bad because it's 8 years, but the idea of bringing a Mookie Betts is the guy that's going to get you over the hump, and that's only just beginning. So where
I agree. So you say you bring back Roberts, assuming that you'd, with Mookie for another full season, you give Roberts another spin around the thing.
Yeah, give Roberts a real Mookie Betts season, 162-game marathon, fans in attendance, playoff games in your place with Mookie Betts. I kind of feel like this year, as much as it counts, you do kind of have to take things with a grain of salt and just understand things were a little different, things were wacky, things were goofy, and you still got to an NLC.
I see your point. The only problem with that theory, though, is that they made the playoffs as a dominant team. They were 43-17 this year. So it wasn't like the awkward, abnormal season affected their regular season. They were just as dominant as they always are. And then they get to the playoffs, and they rip through the first two rounds, and then they once again hit an LCS against a good team and can't get over the hump. You know, so it's almost like this feels like it would have happened anyway, even if it was a real season. This
That's
is what every happens every year.
I guess, but I would still say Mookie Betts, extra juice, no fans at Dodger Stadium going absolutely berserk for big moments. That could make things a little harder on, you know, a young Braves team, something like that. I know this sounds like excuse-making, but I just think you can't look at it as the eight-year totality. I think you needed to look at Mookie Betts, one of the premier stars, joining a Clay Bellinger at a down year, and say this is the start of an era now. And I think you're taking the last 8 years and not understanding that maybe this year is kind of, okay, let's see where we can get going, and it's the first year of a new era. And are you going to pull the plug after the first year of this based on the eight previous years? I think there's a weird fine line there. I would go at least one more year.
Okay, I could live with one more year, but if he flames out again in October next year, I don't see how you could possibly think anything's going to change.
Guys, Ty Lue is the Clippers' new head coach. Daryl Morey stepping down as Rockets GM at the end of the month, and the NBA and Players Association have agreed for a third time to delay their mutual deadline for opting out of the current CBA. It's now October 30th, giving them two more weeks to make modifications to the current CBA needed because of COVID's effect on league finances. It is still assumed that no matter what, neither side will actually use that opt-out to end this current CBA. And now, a stunned.
Yes.
Bacon.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
With bacon.
league, and I've got to thank Stephen Murray for sending this one my way. I'm not sure where Hormel was on Sean's grocery store bacon power rankings, but I assume this will help them move up if necessary. Hormel has launched, quote, breathable bacon, a coronavirus mask, quote, featuring the latest in pork-scented technology. Oh. Who knew that was a thing to begin with, that now there is the latest in pork-scented technology? Between now and October 28th, you can request one of these free bacon-smelling masks at breathablebacon.com. Hormel will donate a meal to Feeding America, up to 10,000 meals with every mask request. So this, everybody wins out of this. You get to smell bacon. People who need help get help.
Oh,
my only concern here, guys, is can there be too much of a good thing? Could you ruin bacon's delicious smell by having it right in your gullet for a long period of time?
I don't think so. I think that it's the gift that keeps on giving. You'd always want to smell bacon. I think the problem is you'd be craving bacon every second of the day, which would lead to probably sensory overload and this kind of like never-ending, like frantic pace, like when a dog gets hungry and it can't stop yelping and eating things and chasing things. Like you would just be chasing pigs around the yard. You'd be just like going to the supermarket, immediately turn off the side of the road to get into a supermarket to go buy bacon. I can't imagine smelling bacon right in your schnoz constantly all day long doesn't lead you to want to eat bacon like 3 to 4 times a day.
I would also say that if you think about it, when do you wear your mask, I would say, the most consistently? Now, we all wear masks, but I'm talking about the place that you probably have the mask on for the longest period of straight minutes is the supermarket. If I'm wearing this food shopping in the supermarket, the old saying, you never shop hungry, I would venture to guess wearing this mask, I am more likely to spend an extra $75 or so in the supermarket because I'm just going to be starving going through that. And I bet you good marketing by Hormel. They're thinking maybe Hormel's on your mind. You're wearing this while food shopping. Now you're going to buy more of their products. You get the free mask, but you're buying stuff that you wouldn't normally buy. It's a big win-win for them. I would end up spending way more money in the food store wearing this food shopping.
And frankly, it sounds like us and Hormel have a natural partnership that should be bridged here, because it says Hormel's recent innovations include the Black Market, which is a multi-sensory virtual reality experience. So it sounds like there's probably flying bacon bits like going by your face in some type of VR world, and ham hocks and things like this, pork shoulders. Also, the development of a musical experience using the sounds of bacon and the world's first bacon-fueled motorcycle. This is right up our alley. So almost Hormel should probably sponsor the DA show, because this feels like we could build entire episodes around a musical experience with just the sounds of bacon.
Imagine our first days back in the studio. We all ride in on bacon-fueled motorcycles. I think that's a heck of a documentary to shoot. How great would that be?
Oh, man. I mean, and is there anything better than the how we're all going with the thick cut now, the home style bacon? Like,
You've been all over it.
It used to be you just get the little thin strips. I mean, 10 years ago, that's all you're getting is the little thin strips everywhere. And then people realized thick cut bacon was really popular. And now wherever you go, home style, applewood smoked, thick cut. I mean, it's like you're getting real pieces of the hog there, which is to me a lot bang for your buck. It's a hearty bacon now.
Yeah, it's totally a hearty bacon. I don't know about you guys. If you ever go to one of these fancy burger places, you try to get a burger. Now, I don't know how anybody orders a burger if you see one out with bacon on it. All right? The bacon is in your face. And usually you're getting that thick cut, like you said, sometimes that blackened. Oh, I got to go.
You just
with
stopped.
Bacon.
You stopped in the middle of a thought and just groaned.
I'm honestly now thinking about getting a bacon, egg, and cheese delivered here. This is, and I won't save it for later, Pete. I'm starving.
So here is the do's and don'ts for the breathable bacon mask from Hormel. Do, keep facial orifices snugly covered to enjoy maximum whiffage. Don't, breathable bacon smells great. Don't sleep on it. So it says don't put it over your eyes. Do not put it in your mouth. Do not attempt to eat Hormel Black Label breathable bacon. And do not... nose exposure allows essential bacon scent to escape. So don't put it only over your mouth, because if you don't put it over your nose, you're letting that scent escape. So they've got the do's and don'ts of this breathable bacon mask.
My dog on, but you guys would be going nuts if I have a mask hanging in the, you know, on the coat rack ready to go out. It smells like bacon. Forget about it.
Oh, yeah. Now we need bacon. So if we ordered breakfast right now with tons of bacon, would Pete eat it?
Pete would have a quarter of it out of guilt, and then three quarters of it he would split with Bridget.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes,
he would eat it.
Yes, he was. A tiger doesn't change its... Wait, who is it? The
stripes.
Zebra?
You're good. You're there.
The tiger doesn't change its stripes.
Education.
You should not have helped him out there. I was waiting for him to do the spots with the tiger and the leopard heads, the stripes.
No,
sorry.
No, I thought maybe zebra doesn't change its stripes, but it's a tiger.
A bear doesn't change its tails.
Right. A cougar doesn't change its spots. How about that?
We needed a 75th buffoon cut.
All right, thank you, Bogues. When we come back, I've got my tasty top five, my top five college football games of the weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top five.
I'm tasty.
Number five.
We start with my alma mater. And this is not a game most of you will care about. In fact, it's only going to be broadcast on ESPN3. But I find this weekend's game, tomorrow at noon Eastern time, fascinating from the Carrier Dome. Because Liberty comes to town. And Liberty is a three-point favorite. Yes, Syracuse has fallen on such hard times. Tommy DeVito, their starting quarterback, injured. Andre Sisco, their best defensive player, injured as well. And Liberty is 4-0. The Hugh Freeze... Liberty Flames are 4-0. And can you imagine a time where Liberty travels to an ACC foe and is a three-point favorite? That's the case at the Carrier Dome tomorrow. It's not pretty for the Orange, but it's fascinating because anytime a power conference like that is an underdog, things have really fallen on hard times. That's my number five.
Number four.
Is a game tonight, 9:30 Eastern kick on ESPN, BYU in Houston, the Cougars of BYU, ranked number 14 in the country, and they take on the Houston Cougars. Now, this is interesting as BYU is a five-point favorite because Houston has only played one game this season. Remember, the Houston Cougars have had all of their games postponed or canceled because of COVID stuff, and so they've only played one game. They beat Tulane 49-31. What are the Cougars? Do they finally get a game played against a real opponent that they can actually build some momentum on? And BYU's always got an interesting offense. The over-under 62.5 tonight, so there should be some points scored. That's my number four.
Number three.
Watch out for Pitt tomorrow at noon on ACC Network. They're going to take on Miami. And there is just a part of this Miami Hurricanes team I do not trust. The Hurricanes are ranked 13th overall, but Pitt has always been one of those teams of the ACC that hands one of the dominant squads of the conference a terrible loss. This could be it tomorrow. Again, I usually rarely have an ACC Network game and an ESPN3 game as part of my Tasty Top 5, but there's a boatload of good games postponed or canceled this week because of COVID. Miami smoked by Clemson last week, showing that they're not even close to the Tigers' territory. Pitt has lost its last two games by only 1 point. 1 point the last 2 weeks. Is Miami really 14 points better than Pitt? I doubt it. I like Pitt plus the 13.5. Number two.
Number two.
What do you think about Mississippi State? What is there to think? The Bulldogs under Mike Leach are 0-2 since they shocked LSU in their opener. This is a 4 p.m. kick on ESPN tomorrow. A&M is coming off that huge win over Florida. And that's the first signature victory of Jimbo Fisher's tenure. Can he continue? He's a five-point favorite, number 11 A&M at Mississippi State. Never easy to go to Stark Vegas. Will A&M let down, exhale a little bit? This is, I think, an interesting spot, a little bit of a trap, because while Mississippi State has not won since they beat LSU, they still have the potential to do those types of things. This is an interesting one tomorrow afternoon on ESPN.
Number one.
With bacon.
Big, Big game of the weekend with Bacon. Number 3, Georgia, traveling to number 2, Alabama. Bama's a 4-point favorite of this one. Nick Saban's not going to be allowed in that stadium unless he tests negative today and tomorrow. The Bama defense has gotten worse progressively over the course of their 3 games. Can Georgia actually put it together? Can they finally close out Bama, which has been their torture chamber for the last couple of years? 7 p.m. tomorrow night on CBS. I like Georgia to win this game outright. That is your Tasty Top 5.
I'm tasty.
If there's ever a time to do it for Georgia, this has got to be it. It's got to be. It's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. When we return, could Tom Brady now be a punchline around the NFL? We'll explain next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.